perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and this is Young Catholics Respond. Thank you for tuning in. No matter how you're listening, we are excited to have you with us today, all the way from the mountains of West Virginia, all the way out to the very snowy, cold Wisconsin. Thank you for tuning in today. Today, my guest is Deacon Joe Senglob. He is a permanent deacon for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. He was ordained in 2016. He's happily married to his wife, Elizabeth. And Deacon Joe is truly a wonderful person and just an amazing evangelist himself. He is working on an incredible project called We Back the Collar. Actually, it's something that we've been working on together for a period of time. And Deacon Joe, welcome to the program. I'm excited to talk to you about the state of the church, the state of the priesthood, and We Back the Collar.
Hey, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad that you put your name in on that one because clearly, you're as much responsible as I am.
Well, that's good. That's good. So let's first have a little conversation in the first half of the program about the state of the Catholic Church, the state of the priesthood, because really this whole project stemmed out of that. We were standing at the confirmation retreat we were both working for at the time and having a conversation about the state of the priesthood and really what can we do to help our support our priests, and that's really how this grew out of. So why did we have that conversation? Maybe the Holy Spirit had something to do with it, huh?
Well, you know what? I got a great story, and I always like to lead out with the story because I think it's one of those experiences that when you hear about this, it just takes your breath away. A couple of years ago, a good close friend of mine was recently ordained to the priesthood. Wonderful man, wearing his collar, decides to go to a sporting event up here in good old Packer land. Of course, this was a Packer over at the Lambeau Field. As he's walking up to Lambeau Field, he and four of his closest friends, he's wearing a collar, they are not, and he starts getting heckled from the crowd all around him, to the point that they actually started to really say some pretty rude things. And as this began to increase, he thought to himself, this is what's happening. And he turned around and he confronted them. All he did was, as he said to them, he says, yes, I am a priest. And they started in about all the things that have been going on in the media and the history in the last 10, 15 years. Clearly, this gentleman was not responsible for any of those actions. But he was the focus point of their termination to argue this. And, you know, this is the sad situation that we see every day. Our priests all around the country and throughout the United States and the world are being criticized for things they did not do. And the reality is they're struggling. And that's what caused me to think about this. And when you and I spoke last time, we said, what can we do? You know, what can we do as far as a visible sign to show our support? And that's where this idea came about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Deacon Joe, you wear your collar, you wear your diaconate collar, you know, quite proudly and, you know, at certain, public events and at Mass and everything else. And, you know, it's an incredible witness just to be, you know, an ordained deacon or an ordained priest. And wearing that collar is a courageous thing. It's a very courageous, you know, tough thing to do in our culture. I mean, as you highlighted, even at a Packer game, you know, watching a sporting event in a secular arena, here we are faced with a group of people heckling a priest over something that he didn't do. You know, the press likes to do what? They like to take a very small population of the priesthood that has failed their vow and make it seem very, very public, very, very large. And that is not the case in the church, correct? That is not necessarily the case in the Catholic Church that every priest has fallen victim to their passions and these other sins.
Well, you know, it isn't. It isn't. But on that same token, I always love to bring this up, and that is we are all sinners. back in 1240, the church took a couple of years to opine on whether the church was a group of sinners or a group of saints. And they actually had to come up with that decision that we are a group of sinners. And so, like everyone else on this planet, we walk by faith, but we also have fallen short of the grace of God. And that holds true for our priests as well as deacons and, of course, bishops and so on and so forth. You know, it was said that Saint John Paul II used to go to confession at least once a week. And for a gentleman like that to say that, what a tremendous, tremendous wealth of gift that he had, because he could see inside the struggles that he had, as each one of us have. And certainly our priests run into those struggles as well. But we don't hold them accountable for all those struggles because they're being held accountable to a higher standard. Our responsibility is to support them in any way we can because their lives are difficult. And that's what I'm trying to say. This is ultimately, that's what we're all about.
Right. And having that difficult challenge to live virtuously, as you said, because they're held to a higher standard, it means to celebrate the priesthood for what it is. And then also, we do have to address, and I believe the church is taking steps little by little. We're certainly not there yet, but to address the issue and problems that we have had in the past. So in that example of the Packer game, where you have a friend who's kind of bearing the collective sins of the priesthood, right? That's what he was doing in that situation.
Exactly.
Bearing the collective sins of the priesthood, and having to address that publicly and address that, how do we go about addressing that in a charitable way that doesn't throw out the gift that God gave us in the priesthood, because that is given to us by Jesus.
Well, and that's absolutely true. So when we consider the value of what we receive from God, you know, this is as the presbyter. This is truly an ordained group of individuals that help grow us in the community. And in many ways, they are examples. So when they fall short of the grace of God, they're an example and a witness of what we must do. Now, they have their own crosses to bear. They have their own crosses to carry. And we understand that. But they can be living and buying examples of that in this world. And I can say that that holds true for all of us, for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us hold an example of leadership to emulate. There are people that will look upon every one of us as we progress in our lives, whether we're a parent or we're a spouse or a sibling or anyone. We are an inviting example of leadership and what we can and can't do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's really where, we can take action to help begin to support our priests, right? And so just those little things in our daily life that we can do to support priests. I mean, there's a great need for them to, they're human beings, right? Priests are also human beings. Yes, they're ordained, and it's the same thing, right, with you, right? You're a deacon, but you're a human being too, right?
Last I checked.
All right, very good, very good. So, what are some of the things that I always think of myself, what are those concrete things that we can do to support priests? What are those things that the lay people can do to support priests and other clergy, bishops even too?
Well, that's a great example. So just the other week, we had a wonderful reading. Of course, the gospel homily was all about the wedding at Cana. And in that wedding Cana, spending a time in prayer, had to do a homily on this. And when I was finished doing the homily, of course, it wasn't what probably most people had heard. But what I really looked at was this is all those servants that was involved in Christ's ministry to perform this miracle. He could have done this completely by himself, and some people would say he did, but he actually selected those servants to help him complete it. Now, he didn't ask the disciples. The disciples were literally just involved. They witnessed to this miracle occurring, as everybody else that was participating. But it was the servants that helped out. And I bring this to your attention and to all those people present. It is as those servants that we each must take that leadership role in helping our priests and our clergy by being an example to others of how we are to live and how do we are support to priests? So what the priest could say is, gosh, I'm being overwhelmed by a myriad of different things that are happening in my parish. Well, absolutely. I would tell you every priest is. And that's a perfect example to stop by, you know, whether that's at the rectory or wherever the priest might be a visible opportunity to be engaged and just say, how is it that I can assist you? Where is it that I can take some of that workload off your shoulder? As we all know, there's too few priests and there's too much work at this time.
Yeah. You know, even like some of the emotional support for priests, right? I mean, they need friends, they need parishioners to rally around them and invite them out for dinner every once in a while too, right? And
oh, say, my gosh. Hey, well, you know what? It's absolutely funny that you bring that up. So when you think about the priests of old, now I go back, I've got a couple more gray hairs than you do, but if I look back in my past, the one thing I realize is that in the past, we used to have so many priests that the priests would have these small little groups together. So you would have 2-3 priests, maybe even more, at a particular parish. So they were bouncing off ideas. They were interacting. They had a close bond, a close friendship. They had people that were struggling with similar things that they were going through, similar times. Maybe it was depression or loneliness. Well, the reality is they don't have that anymore, and they don't even have the time. I was counting up some hours just the other day about the priest that I work with, and I realized that he was putting in about 70 to 75 hours a week, traditionally, any given week. That wasn't even coming up to the holidays. So, you know, when you think about those kind of hours that you're putting in, or I'm putting in, or anyone else for that matter, and then you start thinking about the hours that they're putting in, wow, talking about asking to be a holy example in this world, and they're doing it. They are truly doing it.
No, that's beautiful. And so, yeah, we need to definitely back the collar. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the project in the second half of the interview here, Deacon Joe. But I got to take that short break right now. And then when we come back, we'll continue talking with you just a little bit more about the ways we can support the priesthood. I really think this initiative is something that can grow, take off, and expand across the country, if not the world, because I know that it's such an important ministry and an important piece of ministry for the church. So right back after these messages here on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder. We'll be right back here. Don't go away.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of 4 children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Saint Therese of Lisieux's Little Way of the Cross, written by Victoria Clarizo and designed by Just Love Prince, is a beautiful prayer booklet that helps you pray the Stations of the Cross. Use these reflections to meditate on the great love and mercy that Jesus had for us as he journeyed to Calvary. The Little Way of the Cross includes gems from Scripture, the writings of Saint Therese, and the words of Jesus from the imagination and prayer of the author. Go to justloveprince.com to get your copy today.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by rememberyouareloved.com. What's the big deal about love? The big deal about love is that we all need love, and we are more fulfilled than ever when we give love. So we must both get love and give love. We must get love from God first and foremost, because he teaches us how to love, because God is love. And then we must give love the way that God gives love. Now, this is very possible because we were created with the capacity to receive love and give love. It's also expected. That's why we have the commandment to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourself. It's logical. If we have the ability to love, why don't we exercise it? If we have the ability to receive love, why don't we open our hearts to receive it? So let's get love and give love. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady's shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Hi everybody, Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder, and on today's program, my guest is Deacon Joe Sunglob. He is a ordained deacon in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, and we are talking with him about this project called We Back the Collar. And in the first half of the program, we really went into the state of the priesthood and what is going on with our good, faithful holy priests and how they get lumped in with this minority of priests that have perpetrated abuse in the church, and what we have to do to kind of reclaim the priesthood, kind of back the collar, as we kind of say, this project bore out of a conversation Deacon Joe and I had, and the conversation was kind of led off by you, Deacon, that said, do you know those signs that say we back the badge? Right. And I said, yeah, I do remember those signs that say we back the badge. And he goes, well, how about we have a sign that says we back the collar? And so we looked at one another and kind of went, that's a pretty cool idea, isn't it? We need to have one of those. We back the collar. Things he goes, well, how do we go about doing that? I said, well, we just designed a bumper sticker, right? And we start. So that's exactly what happened. It took a couple weeks to design the bumper sticker, and here we are. We've got bumper stickers. You can check them out on our website, patchworkheart.org, and then click on the shop. You can see an image of the bumper sticker right there, and you'll be able to purchase them. We're not breaking the bank for anybody, by the way. These bumper stickers are 75 cents. So that just covers the, the shipping and the printing costs, really. We're not trying to break the bank. But why is this important? Why is the mission of putting this on your car or your refrigerator or your guitar case? Why is this important? How does this, what does this do for us?
Well, that's a great question, and Bill, I think we both would sum it up without actually saying this, is we're trying to break relativism. We're trying to break down those barriers that are starting to happen everywhere around us in our life. We're coming up with more and more excuses of why we shouldn't believe. And what we're doing here is we're saying, no, we do believe, we do support, and we do understand. And I know that that was the reasons why I came up with this idea and you helped me. Was because originally when we first looked at this, we said, how can we support those people? This is how we can support. You know, it's an age old, many famous people have taken credit for it. But, you know, what's wrong with this world? I'm wrong with this world. That's the whole philosophy. And that's what we're trying to do here. So if people want this, you know, we're here. We're here to help. We're here to help support you and to get this out. Here in the Milwaukee Archdiocese, we have some wonderful conferences. We have a women's conference and a men's conference that draws more than 3,000 people to each one of those conferences independently with great speakers, speakers that everybody here has known and heard about. And the reality is it's those conferences where this is really getting a grassroots, you know, a following, for lack of a better term. Just the other day, I have to tell you, I'm driving down the road. I'm over by, well, it's a ways away from here, but it's a place called Wisconsin Dells. It's a theme park in Wisconsin. That's where you go to play on water rides, maybe not in the middle of winter, but we go there and we do all kinds of fun things. And I happen to be driving through there, and all of a sudden, I had a car beep its horn at me at an expressway, and I slowed down thinking, what's going on? And as I drove past, they're waving at me, and the one woman lifts up her rosary, and she points at it, and she points at me. And it was kind of cute, because the only thing on my bumper sticker was, we back the collar. And she knew it. And she knew it.
and that's so awesome, you know. yeah, absolutely. That's great. And so it is having an effect. You know, remember that in the rule in advertising is that we see about 3,000 impressions on our way to work, you know, from the McDonald's arch to, you know, everything. And when something like that stands out, that means that somebody resonated with somebody, right? It wasn't just a random chance, because it's pretty much random chance, you know, everywhere else. You know, you pull into the McDonald's for a Frosty or whatever. Excuse me, now I'm organizing, mixing up Wendy's and McDonald's. But the idea is that the idea is that, you know, we see so many different impressions all day long that when something like that stands out on a bumper sticker, we know it's making an impression. And I know you handed out so many of them. I mean, we got like 5,000, and just we're passing them out at Women of Christ. We'll do so at Men of Christ. That's coming up, by the way, for those of you who are wanting to go to a great men's conference, look at menofchrist.net, as Deacon Joe mentioned, because their conference, I believe, is coming up, March 10th or something like that?
I believe it is. It's I will be on altar, thankfully. I will be there. Our Archbishop is always there. We have some tremendous speakers at this one, as we always do each and every year. Like last year, we had Dr. Scott Hahn as an example. We've had tremendous people all the way through, and it's amazing how on fire for the Lord you are when you walk out of there, and the tremendous opportunity you have, because they give you direction. That's what's great about it.
Yes, exactly. And you know what, I think one of the big things too, as we're kind of talking about this, is that, you know, the mission behind this project is to celebrate faithful good Catholic priests. What you're going to see at that conference is faithful good Catholic priests. And so if you are maybe one of the people out there listening to this, I have, you know, a lot of different young adults, people scanning through the channel, in the mountains of West Virginia. If that's you listening and you've gone, hey, you know what, I've really become disenfranchised with the church over this issue, think about coming to that conference. You know, it's a nationwide conference. People come from all over the country, and look again at and find that good, faithful Catholic priest that's witnessing to the faith, and see all the Catholics that are standing behind them. You know, one of the things that reminds me of this project is, I believe, one of the greatest scripture passages from Exodus, where Moses is up there, you know, on this mountain, you know, interceding for the people below him in battle, right? And he's being supported by others, by the laity, right? And they're supporting his hands, because when his hands raise up, the Israelites are winning the battle, and when not, they go down. And so this is a great way to lift the hands of the priest in the society that we live in, right? And you can correct
me if I'm wrong. Absolutely. That's a great simile. It's just a great simile, a great example of how we need the support. We need to lift their hands. We need to give them a little extra, because right now, Bill, to your credit, you know, you're showing an example. They're fatiguing. This is what it's all about. They're fatiguing. They're being so beat up by society, always telling them that they're wrong and they're horrible people, and nobody giving them support, not even from within their own community. And this is an example to give them witness, even if it's something as simple as a bumper sticker. And if somebody came up with shirts, I tell you what, I'll buy a dozen.
That's right. Yeah. You know, we're not, just so you know, there's no, you know, copyright to this. There's no, you know, we're not trying to, again, this is not a money-making venture, any stretch of the imagination. We're just trying to get the word out there to support good, holy, faithful Catholic priests, and his laity do that, support the hands of the priest, and all the clergy, right? So, you know, and the other thing is too, just remember, that we are not excusing or shaking, you know, turning a blind eye to the issues. I think that's the other really big thing. By putting this on your car, by putting it out there, remember that you're not turning a blind eye to the evils that have infiltrated the church, you know, and the hierarchy of the church. We're not doing that. You're not doing that by plastering a bumper sticker. All you're saying is, we need good, holy, faithful priests because Jesus gave us the priesthood.
Absolutely. And you know what? There's a tremendous amount of people that mean well. And that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to recognize those people. And for those priests that have fallen short of the grace of God through a struggle, you know what? I'm here to support them too, but in a different way. Not in a way to say, hey, they belong to the priesthood and they should continue being priests in that capacity in which they have fallen short. No, I don't see it that way. But in those people, as a human being, as a creature of God, and as a baptized creature of God, and an ordained creature of God, they need our support also. They need our support. You know, they should no longer be priests as recognized by the church to be able to confect the order. But what they need to do is they need to be recognized as the human being that they are, and a sinner. And that's where we're here to support.
Yes. And get them the emotional support, get them the support they need. And if they have to be brought to justice through a court of law, they need that as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is good for, and that is good for their health. And that is good for, and the society's health. You know, but all of that is included in that bumper sticker, folks. You know what I mean? It's not one aspect of this.
Yeah, it's a both-and type of scenario. We're here doing multiple things, but ultimately, at the end of the day, if you could sum it up in one word, we're here to support our priests.
Amen. Amen. Deacon Joe, thank you so much for your time today. You're a huge blessing to our ministry, and in doing this, don't forget to visit our website. The bumper stickers are right up there on our website. If you go to patchworkheart.org, and I believe there's something that says online store. Click on that link, and it'll pop right up to the store and printable material, and you'll be able to buy the bumper sticker. We'll ship it out to you, and we'll ship out more if you need more. You know, just let us know. Shoot us an email. info@patchworkheart.org is the email address. info@patchworkheart.org, and we will, you know, converse with you. We'll get you a set of bumper stickers, and again, T-shirts. You know, all that stuff is game. You know, feel free to print your own and make your own. You know, and we can send you artwork and stuff like that too, right? So don't worry about that. Deacon, thank you so much for your time. You're the man.
All right, Bill. God bless and God bless everybody out there.
Yes. Yeah. Can I get a quick blessing from you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is my favorite blessing. I work in hospice, and I always tell everybody, this is we're always praying for those individuals in hospice, but also the residents as well as the volunteers and workers. And so I look at the world today, and I wonder about that. And so I say, let us bless all those individuals that are striving to make this world a better place in any way, shape, or form that might be. And so that God may inspire them, may give them a holiness and a glow which others conceive and desire to become part of. And I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry and for Deacon Joe, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about our program or to be a guest,
visit patchworkheart.org, email info@patchworkheart.org, or call 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.